I'm Mark Mallett. This is the Now Word for March 18th, 2016. As we begin day 33, I want to continue to speak practically about prayer. And today, soaring in the Spirit. Thomas Merton once said, "There are a thousand ways to the way." But there are some foundational principles when it comes to the structure of our prayer time that can help us advance more quickly toward communion with God, especially in our weakness and struggles with distraction. Well, when we approach God in our time of solitude, it might be tempting to just suddenly begin unloading our own agenda. But you know, we'd never do that if we were to enter the throne room of a king or the office of a prime minister. Rather, we would first greet them and acknowledge their presence. Well, so too with God. There is a biblical protocol that helps us to place our hearts in right relationship with the Lord. The very first thing we should do when we begin to pray is to acknowledge God's presence. In Catholic tradition, this takes on various formulae. And the most common expression, of course, is the sign of the cross. It's a beautiful way to begin prayer, even when you're alone. Because not only does it acknowledge the Holy Trinity, but it traces on our body the baptismal symbol of our faith that has saved us. And by the way, I just want to digress a moment. Satan hates the sign of the cross. A Lutheran woman once shared with me how, during an exorcism, a possessed person suddenly bolted out of her chair and lunged at her friend. Well, she was so startled and for lack of knowing what else to do, she traced the sign of the cross in the air in front of her. Well, the possessed person literally flew backwards through the air. So, yes, there is power in the cross of Jesus. Well, after the sign of the cross, you could say this common prayer. God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. You see, beginning in this way acknowledges your need for Him, inviting the Spirit into your weakness. As St. Paul said, the Spirit too comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. Or you could pray this invocation, Come, Holy Spirit, help me to pray with all my heart, all my mind, and all my strength. And then you could end your introductory prayer with something like the Glory Be. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. So what you're doing from the very start is placing yourself in God's presence. It's like reigniting the pilot light of your heart. You are acknowledging that God is God, and I am not. It's the place of humility and truth. For Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. To worship him in spirit means to pray from the heart. To worship him in truth means to pray in reality. And thus, after acknowledging who he is, you should then briefly acknowledge who you are, a sinner. As it says in the Catechism, when we pray, do we speak from the height of our pride and will, or out of the depths of a humble and contrite heart? He who humbles himself will be exalted. Humility is the foundation of prayer. Only when we humbly acknowledge that we do not know how to pray as we ought, are we ready to receive freely the gift of prayer. So take a moment. Call to mind any sins and ask God's forgiveness, trusting totally in His mercy. This should be brief but sincere, honest and contrite. As it says in 1 John, if we acknowledge our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from every wrongdoing. And then, my brothers and sisters, leave your sins behind without thinking of them again. You know, we have to be like St. Faustina, who once prayed to Jesus. She said, although it seems to me that you do not hear me, I put my trust in the ocean of your mercy, and I know that my hope will not be deceived. Well, this first movement of prayer, of acknowledging God and acknowledging my sin, is an act of faith. So then, following a basic structure, it's time for prayer to move into the act of hope. And hope is cultivated by giving thanks and praise to God for who He is and for all our blessings. As it says in Psalm 116, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. So again, in your own words, you can briefly thank the Lord for being present to you and for the blessings in your life. You know, it's this attitude of the heart, of thanksgiving, that begins to turn up the propane of the Holy Spirit, allowing God's grace to begin filling your heart, whether you're aware of these graces or not. I love what King David wrote in Psalm 100. He said, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise." So here we have a little biblical protocol. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. In Catholic prayers such as the Liturgy of the Hours, Christian prayer, the Magnificat, or other structured prayer, it's common to pray the Psalms, which means praises. Thanksgiving opens to us the gates of God's presence, while praise draws us deeper into the courts of His heart. The Psalms are absolutely timeless because David wrote them from the heart. And I often find myself praying them from my own heart, as if they were my own words. And so the Catechism says, the Psalms continue to teach us how to pray. So in this time of meditation, you might also read a page from one of the Gospels, or Paul's letters, the wisdom of the saints, the teachings of the Church Fathers, or a section of the Catechism. At any rate, whatever you're led to meditate on, it's best to do it methodically. So perhaps for 1 month you'll read a chapter or part of a chapter of the Gospel of John. But again, you're not really reading so much as listening. So even if all you read is a paragraph, if it begins to speak to your heart, stop at that moment and listen to the Lord. Enter into His presence. And when the Word begins to speak to you, this then can also be a moment of an act of love, of entering then past the gates, past the courts, now into the Holy of Holies. It could simply be just sitting there in silence. Sometimes I find myself quietly whispering little phrases like, "Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." You see, words such as these are like little bursts of propane that shoot the flames of love ever deeper into one's spirit. Saint Thérèse de Lisieux said once, "For me, prayer is a surge of the heart. It is a simple look turned toward heaven. It is a cry of recognition and love, embracing both trial and joy." So then, as the Holy Spirit moves you, it's good to include your prayer by offering intentions to God. And sometimes we might be led to believe that we shouldn't pray for our own needs, that this is somehow self-centered. However, Christ says to you and I directly, "Ask and you will receive." He taught us to pray for our daily bread. St. Paul says, "Have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God." And St. Peter says, "Cast all your worries upon Him because He cares for you." What you can do, however, is put the needs of others first before your own. So perhaps your intercessory prayer could go something like this. "Lord, I pray for my spouse, children, and grandchildren. Protect them from all evil, harm, disease, and disaster, and lead them to eternal life. I pray for all those who have asked for my prayers, for their petitions, and for their loved ones. I pray for my spiritual director, my parish priest, my bishop, and the Holy Father, that you'll help them to be good and wise shepherds, safeguarded by your love. I pray for the souls in purgatory, that today, Lord, you would bring them into the fullness of your kingdom. I pray for sinners who are furthest from your heart, and especially those who are dying this day, that through your mercy you will save them from the fires of hell. Lord, I pray for the conversion of our government leaders, and for your comfort and help for the sick and suffering." And so on and so on. And then usually I conclude by offering all these prayers, praying the Our Father as our Lord taught us. Now, one other thing. I've also, under my spiritual director's promptings, taken to writing down in a journal the words that I hear in prayer. And I have found that this sometimes is a profound way to really tune into the voice of the Lord. And so that's something you might want to do. Well, in closing, the key is to give yourself a basic structure of prayer and to use that as kind of a guideline, but also enough freedom to move with the Holy Spirit who blows where he wills. Some written or memorized prayers like the Rosary can be a wonderful, wonderful aid, especially when your mind is tired. But also, God wants you to speak to him from the heart. Remember, above all, prayer is a conversation between friends, between the beloved and the beloved. In summary, then, prayer is the balance between structure and spontaneity, like a burner that is rigid yet producing ever new flames. Both are necessary to help us soar in the Spirit toward the Father. Rising very early before dawn, Jesus left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. And St. John says, "He who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked."